Okay, so we'll be looking at daring to plant in faith. So we talked this morning about giving God our best. So this will be a very practical teaching about how we do give God our best, and in terms of planting, we'll be talking about that, planting in faith. And we'll be looking at, with that, some practical things that we can do to that. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer as we begin the afternoon's teaching. And the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you that you have given to us your Son, Jesus, whom you planted in the heart of this world as your Son, who gave himself freely at the cross and in the resurrection brought new life into the world. Thank you, Lord, that you so loved us and so loved the world that you planted, indeed, your Son, the Word made flesh, who brings to us the healing and the salvation that this world so desperately needs. So this afternoon we ask you to help us to realize the practical ways that we can plant to release our faith, the practical ways that we can see you multiply back into our life 30, 60, 100-fold the blessings that you promise us as your people. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so let's take a look as a way of the introduction. The very top there in Genesis says, God, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. So planting and sowing and reaping and harvesting have always been something that's been part of the human race from the very beginning. Galatians chapter 6 says, don't be misled, says St. Paul. No one makes a fool of God. Whatever a person plants, he will harvest. So planting and sowing and reaping and harvesting are principles that can go either positive with blessing or it can be negative into our life. So we'll take a look at how all that works. We have 12 different principles today, so we're going to move through them kind of quickly. But again, we'll see how they apply. So number one is everything starts as a seed. We know that if you ever planted a garden, you know that you start with seeds. Okay. And in the seed, there is life. So now, a seed can be anything from something that we deliberately do for someone, such as, for example, show them appreciation or give honor to them. Or it can be gossip and slander. So it can be a seed of cursing or negativity we sow, or it can be a seed of blessing. This is what it says in Genesis 1. God said, let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it according to their varieties. So seeds then bring forth life, and they can bring forth a negative thing or a positive thing. A seed is anything valuable that I give away. So when we talk about seed, then we're talking about things that we give away. And here I'm talking about, in the most positive sense of the word, things that we plant in people's lives or situations. So, for example, we know that, for example, you may know, it could be a worker situation on the job, or it could be a family situation, and so-and-so is giving you a heck of a time. They're grouchy, they're mean, they're haughty, they're arrogant, they're divisive, you name it. Everything that you want the Antichrist to be. And so you're going to plant a seed in that situation. So you start with prayer for that person. Okay, you start with forgiveness. That's planting a seed. That's something valuable that you're giving away in that circumstance. Okay, number two, nothing happens until seed is planted. Go back to my rather simple example, illustration. If you don't plant something, nothing's going to happen. Really, it's going to be anything of blessing and positiveness. So if you don't pray for that person, if you don't plant seeds of forgiveness, then nothing's going to happen. It's going to be positive in that situation. John 12, 24, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, it cannot reproduce. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. So you have to plant a seed if you want to see something happen. Mark 4, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants a seed in the ground. Night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows, but the person does not know how it grows. So planting can be risky. because you're, and it's risky because once you plant the seed, you don't have any control over it. Number three, when we have a need, I should plant a seed. Ecclesiastes, he says, do your planting in the morning and the evening too. You'll never know whether it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other. So whatever you have need of, then you plant the seed. So you give away something valuable. So if you have need of finances, give away some finances to somebody. Plant seed. You're like, we're not talking about numbers or quantity or that kind of thing. We're talking about the idea of giving, planting something valuable. If you have if you're in need of friends in your life because you feel lonely, then become a friend to somebody. That's the seed that you sow and plant in that person's life. If you think, oh, I'm underappreciated, no one values me, you know, then go start valuing people, honoring people, and planting seeds of appreciation in people's lives. So when you have a need, plant a seed. Number four, whatever I plant, I will reap. Galatians says you will reap exactly what you plant. We know that from nature, right? You plant tomato seeds, you're not going to get apples. You're going to get tomatoes, right? So if a person, Proverbs 22:8, selling your sheep, says this, people who plant trouble will reap a harvest of trouble. A person who plants, sows dissension will reap weeds. Okay? Proverbs 22:8. Galatians 6, again, says the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, and ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. That's weeds, rather. That's all he'll have to show for his life. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So, for example, if you want to grow closer to God and feel close to him, you say, oh, he feels like so far away, then you plant a seed of your time set aside to be with him. Okay. A lot of people, oh, God feels so close. Well, have you been spending time with him? I said, well, I'm busy. Okay, well, if you don't plant the seed of giving away something valuable, which is your time, then you're not going to feel close to him because he ain't going to be there to be close to in that sense. He's there, but you won't be able to receive his presence. Proverbs 11:8 says, the one who sows righteousness will reap a reward. So whatever you sow, whatever you plant, is what you're going to harvest, is what you're going to in your life. So if you sow seeds of negativity, criticism, criticalness, judgment of others, then you're going to reap that in your life, or I'm going to reap that in my life. And we reap it by becoming, you say, well, does that mean somebody's going to come to me and speak negatively of me? Like, no, it's probably most likely what's going to happen is my heart or your heart may become embittered, may become hardened. Becomes resistant to things of the Lord and to others. So, you know, it's probably not that somebody's going to, if I trade off negativity with somebody, it's not somebody's going to come up and speak negatively. It's going to create in my own heart a rather negative spirit, a judgmental spirit within me. Number five, I'm not the only sower. I'll explain what I mean by that in just a minute. John 4 says, I sent you to reap where you did not plant. Others already done work before you, and you will gather a harvest. Now, the principle I want to apply here is that some of us come from families and generations of use, of alcoholism, for example. And so we have reaped what others have sown. And so we're sometimes working out the consequences of that in our life. So some people have sowed into our life, and sometimes it's been negative, you know. And that's where healing of family generations comes in, because we want to change that through the power of prayer. Here's the point though: I can choose to break the cycle and plant a different seed now. So it's not fatalism, it's not determinism, you know. It's not like, I guess it's the way it's going to be. I'm going to go to the grave this way. You know, my father was an alcoholic. My great-grandfather was an alcoholic, and his father was an alcoholic, and goes all the way back. So they plant that seed, and now I'm an alcoholic. But no, you can break the cycle now. Okay. by planting a different seed. Number six, I always reap in a different season than I sow. When a farmer plants, he looks for a time different than when he planted, a different season to reap a harvest. He never plants thinking, oh, I'll go out tomorrow, it should be there, right? No, he has to wait till the harvest time. It's a different season. There's a time for everything, says Ecclesiastes, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to scatter, a time to gather. So what do you do with that? You plant your seeds and you keep planting. Okay?
Would you say that again?
You plant your seeds and keep planting.
Keep planting.
So, for example, if you say, oh, I'm underappreciated, nobody appreciates me, then scatter a lot of seeds of appreciation in others' lives. You say, well, when's my due? When's my coming? Well, your harvest will come, but it just won't come the day that you plant the seed in somebody's life.
Right.
It's going to come much later because it's a different season. Mm-hmm. Number seven, I must be patient and not give up. So this kind of piggyback off what I'm saying here. We're so used in our culture to instant gratification. So if we plant a seed in somebody's life or some situation, we expect immediate gratification. This is what Galatians says. Let us not get tired doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. So it's important to realize that there are seasons of planting and seasons of harvesting. We will harvest if we plant it. Just like somebody who lives in sin today, they're planting seeds of destruction. Okay, now they say, well, gee, they're getting away with it. Nope. You can rest assured the harvest will come into their life. You can rest assured. It just isn't going to happen in the season that they're planting, because that's not how things happen. You don't reap in the season that you're planting, which you will reap in a different season, unless somehow they repent and change all that. Number eight, I always reap more than I sow. And that's positive or negative. Here's what Mark 4 says. Some seed fell in good soil. It came, it grew, it produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. So whatever we sow, we can rest assured we'll reap more than what we sow. If we sow a little bit of gossip, we're going to reap a lot of gossip. Mm-hmm. Okay, in other words, that's going to turn our hearts and turn our spirits in such a way that, we'll be prone to gossip. We'll be drawn to gossip unless that's broken. If I plant financial seed, then I will reap more than what I planted back into my life. And that means a generous heart, generous spirit. It doesn't mean we'll become rich. We'll become one of the, 500, richest people in the country or something, whatever it is. It just means that I'll cultivate a generous spirit and grow in confidence in the Lord's provision for all my needs. Number nine, I increase my harvest by planting more seed. 2 Corinthians says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The old saying is you can never outgive God. Well, sowing sparingly and sowing generously will bring will reap in our life what we sow, meaning that if I'm a generous sower, let's say with my words in people's lives, let's say I compliment people, I encourage them. If I have to speak the truth in love to them, I do it gently, but I do it, with love for them and truthfulness to them, but I do it in love. That's planting my seeds well. I'm sowing generously. What's that going to? The harvest in my life will be great. So what will happen to me? I'll become a kinder, generous, more merciful person, and I will provoke God's blessings upon my life because he's generous and kind and merciful, okay? So I will become like him, and because I will be drawn to the nature of who he is and will be changed into his likeness. So, you know, so the more generous I am with, let's say, like words of kindness, for example, then I'm going to be more prone to hearing words of kindness in my life through the Lord or through what others may bring to me. I'll be able to receive that. Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And the reason for that is because when I'm generous, my heart becomes larger and more able to receive from the Lord all that he wants to bring. When I'm stingy with my resources, my time, my energy, my gifts, whatever, then my heart becomes smaller, my soul becomes smaller. I'm not able to receive that much from the Lord or from others. So it's what happens is my soul or my spirit changes in relationship to how I am sowing in my life. This is kind of like the practical working out of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Number 10, the more seed I plant, the more God gives me. Okay, so... For God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread to eat, will give more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. In other words, the more I sow seed, that is good seed in situations, then the more the Lord will multiply back into my life the harvest of that seed. So if I sow prayer in people's lives, instead of complaining and griping about situations, I actually get on my knees and start praying for people in those situations. Okay? So what happens is my heart grows larger and I'm able to receive more what the Lord wants to bring into my life through the benefit and the blessing of interceding and praying for others. So the fruit of my harvest will be the blessing that comes from being in the Lord's presence, praying for situations of people rather than griping and complaining about them. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God is a giver, then when I give, like he gives, I'll receive the kind of blessing in my life that the Lord intends for me, because he's a giver like I would be giving. Okay, number 11, I plant by faith, not by feelings. So if somebody is critical towards me, I don't need to respond back critical, even though I may feel at that moment not liking them very much. I can sow with my words blessing, understanding, you know. So I plant a seed even when I don't feel like I want to plant a seed. Okay? When I'm stressed out, sad, or sick, for example, it may not feel like planting seed, but they're probably good times to plant seeds. Mm-hmm. So if I'm sad, one of the ways I can plant a seed, and I can find somebody who also is feeling down and out, and I can comfort them. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like doing that, but when I plant that seed in their life of comfort, then it says here, Psalm 126, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. So if I'm stressed out, feeling overwhelmed, I find somebody else who's stressed out, overwhelmed. Instead of commiserating with them, I listen to them, right? And maybe offer prayer with them if they're open to that. Or maybe even offer to help take some things off the plate. You think, well, gee, that's crazy to do because I got too much on my plate. But that's the whole point. I'm sowing a seed in somebody else's life. The seed I want to sow is I need some relief from my schedule. Adding more things to my schedule to help somebody else, does that make any sense? Well, in the kingdom of God, it makes a lot of sense. Because when I sow a seed of helping somebody else, like take some things off their plate because they're too stressed out, then the Lord will multiply that seed back into my life to help me. Okay. Number 12, the best time to plant is now. A lot of people say, you know, well, I'll get around to it. You know, no. You know, the farmer, when he wants to plant a seed, knows that this is the season for planting. He can't wait till later, otherwise he won't get a harvest. So if you want your harvest, start planting now. So Those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds. Those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. Ecclesiastes 11:4. If we wait to be perfect before we do anything, we will paralyze our potential. Perfection paralyzes potential. So if you say, well, you know, I just learned about spiritual gifts on the retreat, and in the last couple of weeks since the retreat, if I haven't used spiritual gifts to minister to somebody, because I don't feel like I'm ready to do that, or I'm afraid of failing, then perfection will paralyze your potential. So now is this time to start planting spiritual gifts in somebody's life. Now's the seed you sow. So a lot of people, for example, are saying, you know, I don't feel close to God, I don't feel near to Him, I don't see God's signs and wonders in my life, you know, they're not following me like they're supposed to, you know. Well, have you planted things in people's lives? Have you prayed with people for healing? Have you prayed with them in difficult situations for God to intervene? If you don't plant the seed, you won't see the signs and wonders following you. You say, well, you know, I'm not that holy, but, you know, perfection is not the requirement. Obedience is. Okay, so title of this talk is Daring to Plant in Faith. So are we willing and daring to plant in faith, meaning that as I plant, I can expect a harvest. You know, whatever a person plants, he will harvest, says the scripture. So in that sense, God has made us co-partners with Him, you know, and that whatever we plant, we will sow. That's His law. So if we sow things that will really intend to advance and build up our life, then we sow those things in other people's lives. So think of sowing then as everything. What do I sow? What do I plant? Everything from your words to your time, your energy, your finances, to your spiritual gifts, to prayer, you name it. There's a lot of seed, different kinds of seed that we can plant in situations in people's lives. But God always waits for us to sow a seed before we can expect a harvest. Okay, let's pray for a minute. So I know as we're talking here, different situations and people and circumstances have come up before our thoughts and minds. So just, Holy Spirit, we just ask you right now just to help us to see those different situations and people and circumstances that are going on right now in our life where we know that we need to plant seed, good seed. Seed that will bring a rich harvest, a blessing. Seed that will advance the kingdom. Seed that will provoke your heart and mind to each of us. A heart and mind that is full of kindness and mercy and generosity and benevolence. There are people right here in this room who need you to work a miracle in their life or in somebody that they love. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to see what kind of seed we can plant in somebody's life so that we can see the miracle worked. So, Father, I pray right now that you would help us to see those areas. So right now, I think the Lord is bringing some situations before you, some maybe people or circumstances, where you have to plant seed if you want to see anything happen. Just ask the Lord right now for what kind of seed you can plant in that life, person, circumstance, or situation. Okay, whatever you thought the Lord is telling you, I'm going to ask you just to write down your notes. Just write down, you have to write down the whole situation, just write down the kind of seed you need to plant. Your writing it down becomes what Habakkuk said about write down the vision, for it will come to pass. So that's what you're writing down, is the vision the Lord placed in your heart about that situation. You know, the next thing to do when you have the opportunity is to plant that seed. That's obedience. And as you plant the seed, be thanking the Lord for the harvest that will come forth from it. Again, as you write it down, Jesus says again in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground, night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows, but the person does not know how it grows. So you may not know how it's going to grow, but it will grow. And it will bring forth a harvest. So Lord, we thank you that as that seed is planted, we thank you that it will grow, even though we may not know how it's going to grow. We know that it will produce a harvest, because that's what your word says to us, that whatever we sow, we will indeed reap. Help us, Lord, to know how much seed to sow. Help us, Lord, to see how much we need to be generous in that situation in sowing that particular seed. We know that as we sow generously, we will reap generously. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So that's the Lord's word to you today through this teaching about an area of your life where you need to sow a seed for a situation that he wants to work in, or a situation that's maybe challenging or difficult in your life or somebody else's life that's close to you. Okay. So in your small groups, if you feel like you'd like to, you can share that situation. Okay. And then... be a way to encourage each other. Maybe the next time we get together in June, or I'm sure you'll see each other along the way, be asking, have you sowed your seed yet? But maybe if you feel inclined to do that. Otherwise, what of the 12 here really stood out to you as something that, hey, that's something that maybe I that really caught my attention about sowing and reaping? Okay. All right, and we'll go to about 1:30 with that. Just a reminder, Mass today is at 4 o'clock if you're interested in staying. If you're going to stay in the area, there's a lot of nice area to walk around in here and also down by the water, too. So, okay.
Thank you, Father.
Okay. Thank you, Father. Sure. Yes.